So John chapter 15, but I was telling the park ranger guys, there's a guy named Jordan Peterson who was a famous psychologist from Canada that a lot of people have watched. And the definition of meekness, he talks about the definition of meekness. We say the meek shall inherit the earth. And I've got another definition of peace, what I talk to the rangers about, what constitutes a peacemaker. Because we've got it all screwed up. We think a peacemaker means just laying down and giving up and surrendering, and you do you, I do me. No, a peacemaker actually has to be capable of extreme violence. In other words, put a bullet in somebody's head. That's a peacemaker. And until you can do that, you're not a peacemaker, you're a coward. So anyway, we're talking about the definition of meekness. I said, everybody get on the line, firearms line. What do you got on you? Oh, you got your swords. You got a 9mm SIG P320. How many rounds you got in it? 17. Okay? The definition of meekness is you having that gun holstered in the holster. But you're fully capable in a half a second of pulling it out and confronting evil head on. So we walk around as believers with our sword. And when we pull it out, we're capable, Anthony, right, of doing severe damage to the enemy. And God fights our battles. They're already won anyway. You know, you think about the battles of life. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. You don't have to do nothing. God's going to work it out. And whatever you're dealing with today, just relax. Don't get so excited. Lynn sent me a really nice Facebook thing. I wish we could have put up there some cowboy. Of course it'd be a cowboy if Lynn sent it to me. Cowboy and cowboy boots and a hat. He's talking about how we were never designed for all this madness that we live in. Hurry here, hurry there, do this, do that, try harder, get better, do more, and then we'll clap for you. Great job, and then you're done. Exhausted, worn out, on antidepressants, alcoholic. Wonder why. You know, we're talking about God originally designed us for rest, and that played in. I was thinking about that, Lynn, when you said that. 6 days. God spoke creation into existence. Okay, spoke it. Let there be light. Boom, there's light. This is nothing for God. It wasn't like he came down here and constructed everything and all that. No, he just spoke it into existence. So 6 days. On the sixth day, what did he do? He made man. Isn't it interesting that on the seventh day, he told man to rest? It's like you were made to enter his rest. But we fight that. We fight that. Now we got to do things for the God. We got to do things for God. We got to do all, you know, you don't got to do nothing. You know, I used to have that attitude. I got to go on mission trips over here and over there, and I got to do all this stuff, and maybe God will like me. And then I came to the realization that God loves me just like I am. I can sit on my porch and drink a beer, and he still loves me. John chapter 15. Can't believe we've got this far. I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to dissect it. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he cleans it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, hang on a second before we get into this, because 95% of the people that read this are going to read it from a performance-based perspective. And they're going to see this. First, he takes away. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And he's going to talk about throwing it into the fire and burning it. He's not talking about you. So don't get too excited. He's never going to cast you out. And it's never based on your performance. We've been lied to, guys. What happened? What happened? While men slept, the enemy came in. That's what happened. Well, we got lit. Well, Paul showed up to the church at Galatians or Corinth. I can't remember which one. He said, what happened to you guys, you foolish Galatians? You were saved by grace through faith. You have fallen from grace. Now you're going back into this works, law-based stuff. What happened? So anyway, if you read this, if you get like anxious when I'm reading this, because you're thinking you got to do something. Okay? So as I go through this, if you get anxious, I'm just pre-warning you, because you think, I have to do something in order to stay in Christ Jesus, which is a lie. You're already clean. And who is he talking to here too? We got to know the audience. He's talking to his disciples. He's been talking to these guys for a long time now. He's telling them, I'm getting ready to die, and I'm telling you these things beforehand so you won't fall away. You won't know. You will know that I am who I say I am. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, or in other words, says remain in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit from itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And he's going to break it down here. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Did you hear that part? Apart from him, we can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, here's where it gets really, really pinpointed. He is thrown where? Away. As a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. 90% of the churches out there are going to preach this as, you better be careful. You better get right with God, and you better stay right with him, or he's going to cast you out. That's directly opposed to his loving grace. Directly opposed to it. That goes back to, let's see how I can do, and let's see how good I can get. And we learn that fake it till we make it thing from church. That's where we learn it from. We go to church and we shake hands, we smile, and we, you know, talk about the weather or whatever you want to talk about, and then we go out and we just go bat hell crazy. And then we come back to church and we fake it, and we, you know, I learned it real well. I grew up in the church, guys. I learned it real well. As soon as church was over, it's like get shorts on, going to the lake, drink some beer. It's party time. Where are the girls? Where's the cigarettes? Where's the, what? Anything we could do that we could get away with, we thought we were cool. But then we go to church and hear that we've been bad and God doesn't love us anymore. I'm like, wait. Okay, so I got to fake it. I'll fake it to you guys and then I'll go live my life. What kind of life is that? You know, I was thinking about this this morning. God woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, or was it Rocket Man that woke me up? I can't remember. And I was thinking about this. I said, you know, the church people are more crazy than the ones who don't go to church. We're mentally unstable if we think we got to live two separate lives and we can't be ourselves when we come through that door. We think we got to check ourselves when we come through the door. And okay, we're in church now. No curse words, no secular music, no nothing. We just got to, you know. But in 2 hours, we can go back freaking crazy. That's what the church has done to us, has made us crazy. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, I'm going to go into this if we have time. What's the commandments of Jesus? Most people read this as the commandments of Moses. No. Yeah, love and believe. That's it. There's only two commandments that Jesus really ever says. He says, I command that you believe. It is my will that you believe. It's the work of God that you believe. And love one another. You will know they're the disciples by their love. How many churches you been in where it's nothing but backbiting, talking behind people's backs, complaining? We don't need more of that. No wonder people come to church. We can get all that out there. We need to come in here to say, you're loved. I love you just the way you are. You may be all messed up, but I guarantee you ain't more messed up than I am. Guarantee you. And so here he says, I have I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. Joy may be in you. How many Christians are you walking around? I remember I was down at Southeast Baptist Church in Canyonlands 7 years ago, and I'm like a greeter. You know, we don't even have greeters here. I think that's kind of stupid. Every church I've ever been to where there's greeters, I'm like, dude, I don't want to talk to you. I don't even know you. Well, welcome. We got a special gift for you back here. Get out of here. I came here to be encouraged in the word. Just, I don't know you. You're bothering me. You know? We're not going to have greeters here if I'm in charge. Just come as you are. Be as you are. But I remember being down there and asking the guy, he walks in, I says, hey, how's it going?
It's another day.
You're a believer? Huh? Wouldn't want to be you. Where's your joy? Do you know what he's done? Do you know what he's done for you? Where he's brought you from? Maybe you haven't been there yet. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you need to go there. You know, we try to help people. We try to help people in their problems. That's great. But sometimes God's got them there for a reason. The most best thing we can do is just love on them. We can't fix everybody's problems. I've never been able to fix anybody's problems. I've had people come to me for marriage counseling. I said, hold on a second. I've been married 3 times. And you want me to counsel you? And this one, 13 years. Yay! Amen. Amen. So he says, this is my commandment. Listen, this is my commandment. This is straight from the master of the disaster. That kind of makes sense. He is the master of the disaster. He is the master of our disaster. Wow. That was some original I came up with. Never done that before. He is the master of our disaster. This is my commandment, that you love one another. You wonder why he has to command that. Think about that for a minute. We were somewhere last night. I don't know. We were looking at motorcycles. That's my favorite thing to do. We were up in Centerville. And Maria said, I'm just going to sit in the car while you drive this other one, because I found another one I wanted to test out. I said, well, just go sit back. She says, I don't like being around people. And I'm like, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. She didn't want to be barry, and she's so pretty she gets hit on all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, he says, love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love. Now, here he's going to tell you about his love for you. He says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. What did he call us? His friends. You imagine you're a friend of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Can you imagine that? He would call you his friend? Well, he really doesn't know me that well, or he wouldn't call me his friend. Who did he hang out with? Sinners, drunkards, tax collectors, people that were running from the law, people that were, he didn't hang out with the church people who had their act together. They didn't want nothing to do with this guy. Whoa! And they accused him. The man that knew no sin accused, oh, you're just a sinner. In fact, you have a demon. You're doing all these miracles because you have a demon. And we think we're going to judge what's right and wrong? I laugh at that. No longer, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from you, my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Remember, he went up to Luke and the fishermen and John and Peter and all them. He says, follow me. What did they do? Put down their nets. Immediately followed him. They didn't know where he was going. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they recognized he was the Lord. I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. What does bear fruit mean? It means make other disciples. An apple tree makes other apples. It doesn't mean be so great and awesome that people look at you and say, what a holy person you are. No one's ever said that about me, Tony. I'm kind of proud of it. Whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give to you. This is my command, that you love one another. Let's just stop right there. Where did we go wrong? Where did we get this thinking that we are holding on to God and getting stronger doing it? Where did we come up with that idea? I think that was come up, but somewhere we went wrong. And it's just like Paul said, you know, you guys had it. You heard the good news. And you received it. And then you went back to doing your church thing. Adding to. Now, say this with me. Jesus, say Jesus. Plus nothing equals everything. Say it again. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But somewhere we found it to be, oh, Baptist, we got to dunk you under the water or you're not saved. Like there's something magical about the water. It must be some holy water. But the Methodist, you can sprinkle. You know, Presbyterian, we can sprinkle you. You know, and then we get, and then we, oh, you know, can we pray in tongues? Can we not pray in tongues? Can we, you know, what can we do? What can we not do? And we come up with all this stupid stuff that we can all argue over and divide each other with. Well, I don't like you anymore because you don't believe exactly like I do. I believe in Jesus and his grace and his love. Can we agree on that? So, how do we remain or abide in him? This is where people struggle when they hear this passage. Something we have to do? Is there something we have to do? Or is it something he has already accomplished for us? Because if we have to do it, guess what? We're sunk. We're not just going down. We're on the bottom of the ocean and we ain't coming up. So it's not something we have to do. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's that name again. Whew. It just keeps coming up and up, doesn't it? Well, maybe I better pay attention. Everything God has for you and requires of you, he is pleased to give you in his son. You would think, okay, there's this God up here and he's going to require something of me. Well, what do I got to do? He's already given it to you in his son freely. On the cross. You know what's great about the cross? You know the worst people to be around in the world are church people. Because as soon as you walk in the door, they make you feel less. Need to button up your collar, get a better looking tie. The tie's looking a little old. And they're judging you from the moment you walk in the door. They're looking at you like, I'm better than you. And I'm going to make sure you know that, and I'm going to make you feel less than me. Just little, you know, church people. I put up with it all my life. Tired of it. Tired of playing church. I've been tired of it. And so it's everything God has for us and requires of us, he is pleased to already give us in his son. Everyone likes to think about holding on to God. We think we're holding on to God. We actually think we're doing that. See, I told you we're mentally crazy. Us church people. Church people are just mentally crazy. We actually think we're holding on to God. We're resisting him with everything we got. We're pushing him back. It's like that story in the sand. He's dragging me. There's one set of footprints and there's a big trench behind. That's Chuck. I had to drag his, I won't say it in church. I thought it. I didn't know if kids were in the room or not. What if the pressure was not on us, but on him? What if the pressure was not on us, but on him? Hold on to faith. Hold on to truth. Hold on to love. Hold on to God. Flush it, guys. What a burden to put on someone. What a burden. What if the deeper truth is when you let go, he holds on to you even tighter? Think about that. There's a time in my life I let go. I said, I'm done with this religion. And it was religion that I was done with, not God. But I thought God and religion were one and the same because that's all I knew. And when I let go, there was a time in my life I was a federal agent. I was drinking, smoking, chasing, running around, having affairs, while carrying a gun and a badge. I got transferred from Brunswick, Georgia to Charleston. And as I got up there, one of the agents comes up and says, we heard about you. I said, heard anything. What else did you hear? He said, we heard about you. You're an unguided missile. I said, I like it. I actually liked that. Yeah. I'm a disruptor. I come in and I do whatever I want. I don't care what you say, what you think about it. As long as I don't get arrested, I'm good. I think that's the only reason I never was a drug addict, because I had to take tests. I think that's the only reason that kept me from just really going off the deep end. Because, boy, we go lock somebody up for a little bit of marijuana, and then we go out and drink all night and drive home drunk as could be. And all the whole time I'm driving home, I'm thinking, who's the bad guy here? This poor guy was sitting in his house smoking a dope rope. And we threw him on the ground and cuffed him and threw him back in the car, and now we're leaving the bar at 2:30 in the morning drunk as skunks. I'm like, whoa, who's the bad guy here? What if the pressure was not on us and it was on him? What if the deeper truth is when you let go, he holds you even tighter. Grace is his complete restoration of you. You are held by God himself and he will not let you go. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. You are held by grace, God himself, and he will not let you go. Wow, isn't that kind of freeing? I can mess up. And you are, and you will, and I will. And you're still his. You're his friend. You're his son. You're his daughter. You can't break a relationship like that. It may be a friend, but not a son-daughter. In Christ, God regards you as having never let go. My salvation doesn't depend on me holding on to God. It depends on God holding on to me. That's the whole essence of John chapter 15. Abide in me, I'll abide. Well, how do I do that? You rest in him by faith and belief that he is who he is. He's done what he's done, and he is going to continue to do what he's going to do. And it's all good. How many times does the Bible call him the good shepherd? He's never called the bad shepherd. I told you this. The only reason I'm alive today is because God never let go of me. I ran out of aces, guys. I laid on the floor for 6 months and cried like a baby with nothing but a mattress on the floor. I got rid of everything. People would come to my apartment and go, dude, where's your furniture? I don't have any. Why? Don't want any. What do you sleep on? Mattress on the floor right there. Why don't you have a bed? That's all I need. I'm getting ready to throw it out the window. God had to take everything from me before I realized his love. The gospel is not the story of strong people holding on to God. It's God holding on to his people. It's not the strong people holding on to God. It's God holding on to his people. It's a one-way love. We're used to a life of two-way love. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. You do me a favor, I do you a favor. My dad used to say, be very careful if someone says you owe me a favor, because they're counting. But this is a one-way love. This is why we're running away and we're resisting. He's pursuing us. We come from a long line of quitters and deserters. Peter, Moses, Elijah, the disciples of Jesus. They all ran away. They all quit. I'm out. This is getting too intense. Take up your cross and follow me. Who did it? Nobody. And we think we're going to do that. We're mentally crazy if we think that. You know, grace does not meet us when we shine. It meets us when we shatter. Listen to that again. Grace does not meet us when we shine. It meets us when we shatter. I'm here. I've always been here. Always will be here. Ain't going nowhere. Can't make me go nowhere. My love for you never ends. My grace for you never ceases. What's this? I love this. God says, when you are weak, I flex. I love that. When you're weak, God says, I flex. I got you. Come along with me. It's going to be a nice ride, nice and easy and smooth. What's this thorn thing Paul had? Remember that? He had this thorn in the flesh. Now, there are certain biblical authors out there, got it figured out. They know exactly what that thorn in the flesh is. I don't. But Paul prayed three times. God, take this thorn from me. And I think the thorn in the flesh, the reason it was never said is specifically what it is because we all have one. Yours is a little different from mine. Mine's a little different from yours. But we all have that thorn, that thing we keep going back to that we don't want to go back to. Like Paul says, I find myself doing the things I don't want to do. And I find the things not doing, the things I should be doing. And we've all got that thorn in our flesh. And God, Paul prayed three times, please take this from me. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. Thank you. In other words, you can keep your thorn, and you are going to keep your thorn. You're never going to get over this little thing that's bothering you or disrupting you or dragging you down, but I got you anyway. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I know my sins very well. My God, he knoweth none. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Praise the Lord.